Okay. This is Deirdre McMahon Boone. My age is 31. Today is April 6th, 2007, and we're in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and I'm interviewing my father.
Tom McMahon, born in 86. Today is what date?
April 6th.
April 6th. Location?
Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Kalamazoo, Michigan. And relationship? Father.
That's right. Thanks, Dad. I wanted to start out by asking if you could tell me a little bit about where you grew up.
I grew up in Ireland. And what?
And about your family and your siblings, your mom and dad and your siblings. Can you tell me a little bit about them?
Yeah. I had a father. He was rather strict to the mother. She was rather strict too, but she was a good cook and good person. So was my father.
Yeah.
I had five brothers and one sister. We gave the sister a hard time.
But she wasn't the youngest, but she was close.
Second youngest. And I was always one of the four oldest.
So can you go through and list all of the brothers and sister?
I was always one of the four oldest brothers.
And can you name them all for me?
Tim and Martin and John were the three oldest.
In that order?
I was next.
Okay.
Tom, Ignatius, Mary, and Kevin were the seven. And I was always one of the four oldest and one of the four youngest.
Yeah. You're like the middle baby.
I was the middle one of the clutch.
So does that mean that you hung out with the four oldest and the four youngest?
I hung out mostly with the older brothers because I was taller. And I was well advanced. And my father always kept horses.
Yeah.
He loved stallions and horses of all kinds.
Was that his job?
That was his job. He was a farmer. He'd be better off if he stuck with taking care of the ground, but he didn't.
Yeah.
He took care of horses and cattle. Anyway, he always kept stallions. And he always had a special rope to tie up the mare. So they would kick a valuable horse. So we would steal the rope to make it swing.
You made a swing in the tree?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a tree in the neighborhood and there was a branch growing horizontal with the ground. And we just throw the rope across and make it swing. And we always stole his rope because he bought a nice soft one. Or the hobbles.
And that was better to sit on than the other rough ropes?
Yeah. So we always stole it and threw it across the tree. And on Sunday morning, the farmer came with the mare. And he couldn't find a rope to tie up the mare. So we had to climb up the rope. We had to stole his rope. We had stolen his rope and made a swing out of it. And I had to climb up and get the rope. I figured to be safer anyway.
To be up in the tree away from him?
Yeah. So I untied the rope and dropped it down. And when he got a hold of it, he gave my brother, who was standing alongside him and didn't expect it, he gave him a crack of the rope across the backside.
Which brother was that?
Martin. And Matt ran. He could always run faster than my father. So he ran. And just as the mare was, he tied up the mare with his hobbles. I threw down the rope. And he tied up the mare. And just as he was finished, Martin figured it was safe to come that he was busy. He was busy. So Martin showed up on the scene. I said to Martin from up the tree, "How would you like the tapioca?" I meant
the punishment. The
crack of the rope across the backside. But Mickey Heron was one of the neighbors, and he was standing there watching the whole operation. And he said, he started to laugh. My father started thinking and realized that maybe I meant the mayor getting.
He thought you had a dirty mind, huh?
And he said, "Pardon me, soul, when I catch you, I'll give you a tapioca."
Why did you call it tapioca? Did you and your brothers call it that?
My mother made tapioca once a month, and I suppose she made it for Easter. And it was just after Easter, I think it must have been. It was this time of the year.
Yeah.
It was just around Easter. I think we were the only ones in the area that knew what tapioca.
So when Mickey Ahern said that, he probably didn't even know what that meant.
He did, I don't.
No. Because why would your mother know how to make tapioca?
My mother was a cook in the States for years.
Yeah.
She was here for 15 years. And she was a cook for 15 years.
Yeah.
For some family in New York. Then she went back and got married.
Got it.
She was a good cook. She went to school. She had a degree in cooking.
Did she?
Yeah.
Did she go to school in New York?
Yeah.
She
got a degree in New York for cooking, I suppose. More money.
Yeah. You got to make money to support the family. So, what kind of a student were you when you were in school?
I was a good student, but not too great, but good.
Yeah.
Some subjects I was great.
Like what?
Poetry, and I still remember some of the poems I learned in school.
Yeah.
And some of the subjects I wasn't too good on. Grammar, we didn't have much grammar.
Yeah.
No, I was sent to a different school later on, and I was missing some of the subjects, but the teacher didn't know.
The teacher didn't know that you hadn't covered that?
He thought I had covered it, but that I hadn't done too well. He lost confidence in me.
Was he one of the good teachers?
He was a good teacher, yeah.
And you never told him that you hadn't studied that before?
Actually, I didn't tell him that. I should have told him, but I didn't.
How old were you at that time?
I was about 13 at the time.
Yeah.
Huh. And some of the things, there was one, the tapioca was the most important thing.
What about the babysitter and the potatoes?
Oh, the babysitter. My parents were going shopping, and they hired this old guy to babysit four of us, or all of us, I suppose.
Where were the other three?
I don't remember.
Too little to notice.
I know where four of us. We got potatoes, and we got him in the middle, and we shelled him from all that. And he screamed, and one of the neighbors came to the rescue, and Steve.
So what did your parents do when they came home after that?
Didn't do anything. That's good to do. Didn't do anything. he swore he couldn't handle the situation.
Yeah.
He couldn't either. He didn't want to. He wanted to everything his way. We figured our way wasn't too bad. It was all right.
Works well enough. So how old were you when you left home?
I was about 21.
And was your father still alive at that time?
My father was dead.
When did he die?
He died when I was about 6 months before I left home.
Do you remember how he died?
He died of the shingles.
Oh. And was he sick for a long time?
He was sick for about 6 or 8 months.
Okay.
And I used to go out at night, and they wouldn't. They'd lock the door on me, and didn't appreciate me going out.
Staying out too late.
5 nights a week, I wouldn't go, but I'd go Saturday and Sunday. So I cut a hole in the back of the door, drilled a hole, and put a string through there, and tied it to the bolt. and tied to the bolt, and I just pulled the bolt just enough to open the door. And it caught a slot in the back of the bolt, in the back of the door, and just a string through the door. Pulling just so they couldn't figure out how I'd get in.
So they'd lock you out?
They'd lock me out, but by the time I was 21, they figured there's no point anymore.
When did you start that? When did you first drill the hole in the door?
I suppose I was 20, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
And so why did you leave home?
No work.
Yeah.
There was plenty of work in England.
Who else lived at home at that time?
My younger brothers, Ignatius, Mary, and Kevin.
And your mother?
And my mother.
And you were the oldest left there?
I was the oldest left.
And where were the other three?
The other three were, Martin was at my uncle's, Tim was in England, in the army, I suppose, and John was a carpenter in England.
So you left at 21 and went to England, is that right?
Right.
To London?
London.
Yeah.
Coventry in London. I went to work in London, bomb damage in London.
It, to what?
The bomb damage.
The bomb damage. So did you go and work where John was living?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And he was doing carpentry too?
Yeah. I know I hadn't much experience, but I learned fast.
Yeah. Did you learn from him or from other people?
I worked with him.
Yeah.
For another company. He was working for a company then.
And you went and worked for a different one? Or with him?
No, I worked with him.
Okay.
For a company.
And what kind of work, you said bomb damage, so what kind of jobs would you do?
Repairing windows and doors, installing them.
So
all kinds of carpentry.
So if you were 21, it was 1942 or 1943?
43.
And so that's during the war. And,
yeah.
Tommy was telling me that you worked doing some work with a factory where they had the sunlights in the roof of the factory.
Oh, that was the first few months I went. I worked on the bomb damage. They didn't want the light shining through the roof because that would give the German plane all the information they needed to bomb the plane. So they'd black out. They put blackouts over the skylights, over the all the roof. Right?
So that's what you were building. You were building.
Was building those the first 6 months.
Yeah, and then who else did you meet? Other people working there? Were some of the laborers people involved in the war?
I suppose they were all involved. Yeah.
Yeah.
At that point, yeah.
And where is Coventry in relation to England or in London? Is that close to London?
That was near Manchester.
Okay.
Rochdale was the name of that.
So was that later?
That was earlier. That was the first time I went to England from home. And after 6 months I quit that, went back to Ireland for a vacation. Then I went to, instead of going back to that job, I went to where Jack was.
Okay.
And I went to work with him.
I see. And what was it like during the war working on that stuff?
Pardon?
What was it like working during the war, while the war was going on and during the bombings and everything?
It was bad in England. There wasn't enough to eat, there wasn't enough food, there wasn't anything.
Yeah, where did you live when you worked there?
I lived in a boarding house.
And they fed you there? And did they get, for each person that lived in the boarding house, did they get a ration of food for that person?
They got a ration of food.
Yeah.
And I didn't drink.
Yeah.
And I used to buy rations from the fellas that drank. We'd cook them and we had plenty to eat, but they didn't.
You'd buy the food, you'd trade them, you'd buy food from them so they could buy some drink?
They could buy drink.
Yeah.
We bought the food.
You were hungrier than you were thirsty.
We didn't drink anyhow.
And so you went there in 1943 and you came, and then you came to Chicago, or you went to Chicago in 51?
51.
What prompted you to leave after that amount of time?
Pardon, what did you say?
Why did you leave?
I don't know. Kevin was out here and he wrote back, tell me I could. And I figured I could leave and for week's wages go back.
Yeah, if you didn't like it, you could always go back.
Yeah, that's right. And I liked it and it stayed. Never went back.
Did Tim and John still live in England at the time?
Who?
Tim and John, your brothers?
Tim lived in England and John.
And did you see them very much when you were there?
I went for John for a while.
Yeah.
But he was getting married. He got married. And I didn't like his wife quite much.
Was there a story about you went to the wedding and then on the way home, somebody made you a lunch?
His wife's sister made a sandwich for me because I was working in Yorkshire at the time.
Yeah.
And that was an 8-hour trip on the train. She figured I'd need a sandwich. So she made a sandwich and she made an old sausage that was put in a piece of bread. The dog wouldn't eat it.
The dog wouldn't eat it.
I was hungry, but I wasn't that hungry. So I got 4 toothpicks and then put legs in it and then put one for the tail and cut a piece of sausage and made a head out of it and wrapped it up nicely and put it in a thing and mailed it to her. And she was in England and the worker in Dublin at the time. Not in England, in Ireland.
Uh-huh.
She was working in Dublin. And because of the war and the restrictions, they had a lot of restrictions. And they had, the mail had to go to the customs.
Right.
And she had to be there and open in front of the customs office. And so she was very embarrassed, she said. She told Matt after when she had to open it. She thought couldn't wait. She was all weak. The customs officer told her there was mail for her, that she had to come and open it. She said the only time she would come was Saturday.
So all week she was looking forward to a package?
And she was all week she was looking forward. And she was very embarrassed when she opened it. And there was this more like a mouse.
That wasn't very nice. So you came to Chicago in 1951.
Yeah.
And where did you live when you came here?
I lived with Kevin and Joe.
And how had they been married for long by then?
They had one child at the time.
They had Eileen.
Geraldine.
Geraldine is John's.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It would be
right.
Eileen, right? Isn't Eileen the oldest?
Yeah, Eileen.
Yeah.
They had Eileen at the time. And they figured if I wasn't going out, they'd go out. And they left me babysitting.
Yeah.
And when they came home, the baby was screaming and I was asleep.
That was the last time you babysat, right?
That's the last time I was at.
So what job did you do? What did you start doing when you came here?
I started on construction with Kevin, building homes. And one night I was at the union meeting and the guy had collected all the union dues.
All the what?
All the union dues. Uh-huh. They had to pay so much for being there. So much every month.
Yep.
He collected a whole bunch of money. And he came in to while we were having a drink after the meeting.
Do you remember the name of the bar?
No, I don't remember the name. He said, "Is any of you not driving home?" I was the only one not driving. All the others had cars.
Yeah.
So he asked me to ride home with him that he had collected all this money. He was afraid to ride home again.
Did he think one of the...
In case he'd be held up.
Wow. Did he suspect one of the union guys? Or did he just think in general he didn't want to have that much money?
He just wanted someone with him.
Yeah.
If he had the money, he wouldn't be accused of embezzling or keeping.
Right.
If he was held up. I had witnessed the fact that he was held up instead of, and they took away the, they wouldn't.
Yeah. So there
he wouldn't be accused of it. So he asked, so I rode home with him and he quizzed me on the way about the job and he sent me to work for Hauserman.
For a what?
Hauserman.
Hauserman? Is that someone's name?
They were doing pumping stations on the pipeline from the Mexican Gulf to the Canadian border.
And that's when he asked you if you would be interested in that?
Yeah.
How long had you been here at that time?
I had been in Chicago about 6 months.
6 months. And staying with Kevin and Joan the whole time?
I don't remember.
Probably in a boarding house.
Okay. I don't think I stayed the whole time. And I don't remember, though.
So he asked you if you were interested in that?
And I went to work on that. I went to work on the pipeline. And I...
Where did you go? Where did they send you?
I went to Sioux City and Iowa and Nebraska, Oklahoma, Kansas City, and Minneapolis, Minnesota.
How long was the span of that?
Pardon?
How long was the span of that work?
About 5 months. 5 or 6 months.
And how much time would you spend in each town?
I used to go back every 6 weeks. And then I went back, 1st of May, I went back and we went in business together, Kevin and I.
So that was about a year?
About a year.
A year after you came.
Yeah. Almost 2 years. Maybe a year.
Yeah, sounds like a year. And did you meet any interesting characters on that pipeline work?
I don't remember of any.
Were they mostly people like you, or were they...
like me.
Yeah.
Mostly, whatever town you were from, you got the union rate of that town, if you were a union man.
Oh.
And I only had union men. And so I got the Chicago union rate, which was the second highest. I think New York was higher at the time.
Yeah. And when you came from England, you were in the union. Did you have to transfer your membership?
I was lucky. I was one of the only ones that got transferred from the ASW, the Admitted Society of Woodworkers.
What was the first word?
I was transferred.
From the what Society of Woodworkers?
Amalgamated. Society of Woodworkers to the Brotherhood of Carpenters.
Wow.
And Kevin was here and I wrote and asked him what I'd have to do to get transferred. And he checked with Noonan, Bill Noonan.
Yeah.
And Noonan told him I'd have to meet with the union representative of the American and sign up, pay up in full and resign in good standing and get a letter saying I paid up in full and resign in good standing and bring the letter to Chicago, which I did.
Yeah.
Got all the letters and paid up in full and resigned in good standing. And I got transferred. I was probably the only one. I didn't know of anyone else that knew lucky enough to have a brother working here.
Yeah.
And check with him.
Yeah, that's smart. So you came back to Chicago and you started the business together, and then, so that was about 1952, and then you did that for a couple of years, and then how did you meet Mom?
Mom, I met her at, I was staying at a house, and there was a niece getting married, and because I was staying in the house, I was invited, and because Mom worked for Peter Shannon, I think one of the sisters was married to someone that worked for her.
Okay.
And Mom was invited. She worked for Peter Shannon. And I was invited because I worked for the people. I stayed with the people.
Yeah, it was a boarding house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I met her at the wedding. We fell in love and got married, I guess.
How did you meet her? Did somebody introduce you to her?
Yeah, I met 10 people that claimed that I've introduced her. She says, I need them to introduce her.
And so you met that night and you talked, and then when did you, you asked her out that very night?
I asked her out, I drove her home, asked her out. And she thought it was the end of it because I didn't make an order for them. But I was smart, I could remember numbers.
So she gave you the phone number and you just remembered it and didn't write it down?
I didn't write it down. She figured you won't be. So I called her next Friday, invited her out. She couldn't believe it.
And where did you take her?
I don't remember when I took her. Picture maybe. But we got married. We were only going together for a couple of months and we got engaged.
Yeah.
And we were married within a year.
What was the first, the big party, the big ball that you took her to and you introduced
her? Oh, that was St. Sav's.
Yeah.
She was, at Peter Shannon did our books.
Yeah.
And he was...
He was the accountant. And that's the office she worked in?
She was... Peter Shannon did our books.
Mm-hmm.
And he sold us the tickets to the... Two tickets. One for me, two for me, two for Kevin.
Yeah.
And I had two tickets and I invited her because... So we went to the... I was lucky enough to meet the mayor, Richard Daly.
Yeah.
The father of the present mayor.
Yeah.
And Bill Hartigan.
Wow. And you introduced Mom to both of them?
I introduced Mom to Bill Daly.
And so you got married in November?
November.
Yeah. And right after you got married, did you get an apartment? How did that work? Or did you go away right away?
We went away on an island for 3 or 4 months.
For honeymoon.
And then we came back and let Kevin and Joe go and took care of their kids.
So you got married and left right away for Ireland for a couple months and then came back and stayed at Kevin and Joan's while they went to Ireland?
Yeah.
And watched their kids here? And then...
They came back to Ireland and we had to leave.
Yeah. And then you got an apartment. Where was the apartment?
The apartment was in somewhere over east. I forget. And we got another apartment and I was building a home and wasn't ready in Evergreen Park.
Yeah.
We moved in with Queeley's.
Oh.
Brendan Queeley.
So you lived in one apartment and then the house wasn't ready, so you moved in with Queeley's after the lease was up?
Right.
How long were you there?
We were there for 6 weeks.
Wow. I hope their house was big enough. How many kids did they...
We had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I remember I'd tell Porra Kane's story. I could tell them all night. And she knew Porra Kane. They both knew him. And she made a jello malt after dinner one evening. And just as I got to the punchline of the story. She was then cooking the Jell-O mold. And it slid into the garbage.
Because she was laughing so hard.
We both had a good laugh over it.
Can you tell me a Padre Kane story?
I can't remember them now, but I don't know if this one would be. The neighbors, his neighbor.
Yeah.
Man and wife had a big parable. And the father, the old man, lived with them. The mother was dead, and the old man lived with them. And they were out doing the hay one day. And he sat by the fire. He fell into the fire and got burned. And Padre Kane went to the wake the next evening. And he said, "You know something?" He said, "If I was there, I'd advise them put another scuttle, turf around him, let him go altogether."
Put another... If he was there, he would advise them to do what? To put another scuttle of turf and let it go?
Let him go.
Oh. Oh, man. I can see why they lost their Jell-O over that one. So, did you have Liz at that time when you lived with Queeleys?
Yeah.
Yeah?
We had Liz and they had one. I forget her name. Pat Queeley.
Yeah.
And... we...
was the house ready by the time Sheila was born?
Pardon?
Was the house ready by the time Sheila was born? Had you moved in?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had moved in. And Sheila was born in the house. But Pat Queeley and Sheila were... We were at work one day, and we decided two women were dead to take care of the house.
The two what? The two women?
Two women.
Yeah.
We decided we'd buy champagne, and we bought a bottle of champagne. Brendan and I brought it home and opened it up. They were working away, and then what was going on. We opened the bottle of champagne, the and they were sitting in the front. First of all, we went to the driving range, hit some balls.
Yeah.
The two of us. And then we went to buy the champagne. And they went at the kitchen, tired out. And we came up with a bottle of champagne and drank it. And 6 months after, 9 months after, Kevin Queeley was born.
And Sheila.
And we always called him the champagne man.
I hadn't heard that before. That's funny. Did you like being a father?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. Were you better at that than you were babysitting for...
I think I was.
Yeah.
I think I was better than that.
I think so, too.
Fun?
I said, I think so, too. So do you, what about being a grandfather? Is that different? Is that different than being a father?
It's different in a way. You see everything you should have done when you were a father.
Yeah.
And you see it differently. And you see your mother, why the kid is getting away with so much. Maybe he is, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard. Do you have any words of wisdom that you would want to share with your grandkids and your kids about life and what's important?
I don't know of anything. Right? I'll think of it later.
Okay. What would you say you're proudest of?
I'm proud of my family. They're good kids. Yeah. All Liz was the two most intelligent, didn't make it as they should have, I think. Tom and Liz.
Yeah.
They were most intelligent. The others were intelligent too. So do you.
Thanks. but they did well. It just took.
They did well, yeah. as a family. I'm very proud of them. Sheila, especially Sheila, Elizabeth, Sheila.
Yeah.
Tom and Sean, Eamon, Maura, Peggy, Eileen.
Yeah.
And so.
And me.
And your fifth.
The baby. Would you say you had any regrets?
Pardon?
Is there anything that you regret in life? Or anything you wished you'd done that you haven't done?
You know, the saddest words of tongue and pen. And the saddest of Dean as it might have been.
That's right.
I don't know. I've had nothing I want to talk about.
Yeah. Okay.
And while we were at it, we could add to that verse. Could have been a hell of a lot more.
That's right. I didn't know that was part of that verse when
it
until...
We added that.
Yeah. I saw that when you gave me that to type up, and I looked for it online, and I saw the second part, that it could have been a lot worse. I thought that was funny.
And there was another one. This is good old Boston, the home of the beans and the cod, where the abbots speak only to the lords, and the lords speak only to God.
Are those poems you learned in school?
I learned them soon after school.
Yeah.
I don't think I learned them in school. The ones I learned in school were The Lady of the Lake and The Deserted Village.
Yeah.
And I thought too long.
We don't have enough time for that, right?
And too long to get into them now. Now.
Okay. So, can you tell me a little bit about Mom and why you thought she was so great when you met her?
She looked great. She was very intelligent.
She was very intelligent?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I compared her with some of the others, and she was head and shoulders over.
Yeah.
And I fell in love with her, I think. And I'm still in love with her.
Good. 50 years and going strong.
Pardon?
50 years and going strong.
Going strong. For me, anyway, I had no more.
I'm sure it's the same. You go through a lot in 50 years.
50 years. And what else?
What advice would you give me about raising kids, or give any of us about raising kids?
Raising kids. Oh, I don't know. There seems to be a different approach now. I tried both approaches.
What are the two approaches?
I tried giving them a bang in the backside.
Yeah.
When I needed it, and halfway through I decided that wasn't the way. I never touched them with the humor one.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever led. I know I didn't touch Eileen.
Yeah.
I don't know which was the way I was right, which way I... Which is the best way? I'd say, in my own opinion, the best way is give them a crack at that. Straighten the hump.
Straighten the hump on them.
I see some kids now in the... I figure they need it.
Yeah.
But not. I don't want to do it, but...
Okay. Yeah.
Actually, this is a question for you,
okay,
Deirdre. I just wanted to see if you could share in the last minute that we have one of your most memorable, memories of your father.
Sure. I'm going to share a memory of you. One of my most memorable. One of my favorites, I think. I have a couple, but one of them was when I was in kindergarten. Do you remember when I went to kindergarten and Sister Evelyn, she wanted me to walk to school by myself?
Yeah.
Do you remember? And we lived right next to the school, but I was afraid because I was afraid of her. I think she was mean. So I used to get walked to school by you or by Peggy or Eileen, and she yelled at me every day. And so I remember one day you decided that you would walk me to school up until the corner. Do you remember this? Where the gym was? And I could see you all the way. You'd stood right there until I got to the door of the school, and I could wave to you and run in, and that was your solution. So you walked me to school so I felt safe, but she didn't see you, so I never got in trouble. That was a good one. And I just remember once at dinner as a little kid, you were, I think there was some tension around the dinner table. We were all there, and people were upset about something, but I was little, and I never knew what. And I remember you trying to make me laugh. And so we had lettuce. We had a big salad, and you took lettuce and made a hat out of one of the big lettuce leaves, and you sat and put that on your head, and you put one on my head. And I was laughing away, and everybody else was upset about something. There was something going on, but I never knew. I was just laughing away and ran out to play afterwards with a big leaf of lettuce on my head, like a hat. Those are a couple of my random funny ones, but...
I remember walking to school.
Yeah.
And what's her name from Chicago? And she was friends with you through high school, and you can't...
Eileen Cahill?
Eileen Cahill.
Yeah.
When you see her, you say, that's fair enough. She was friends with Eileen Cahill. When she see Eileen, she said, that's fair enough. You don't have to walk. That's what I remember.
Yeah.
What was the name of Eileen's called?
Liz Carroll.
Liz Carroll.
Yeah.
Geraldine was one of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I couldn't. Did she find out?
I'll email her. I'll tell her.
Liz Carroll. I remember.
Okay. I think that's it.